Exodus in chapter number 14. Exodus in chapter number 14. I don't know about you, but title of the message, and oftentimes the things that I preach, as someone said to me recently, are things that God is doing in my life, and I'm just kind of sharing that with what is happening to me with you. And if you get a blessing out of it, then I hope that it will help you. In Exodus chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 13 and 14. And the Bible said here, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Skip down to verse 21 of the same chapter. "Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. All that night made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea unto the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." My friend, I want to preach to you a little while on this thought this morning. When your world comes to a standstill, when your world becomes or comes to a standstill, will you pray with me, please? Father, we need your help. And Lord, I know there's many needs out here today. They may not have verbalized them, but Father, I just look across the folks' faces this morning, and I realize, Lord, that they have done battle with the enemy this week. Some have been victorious, some have not. Some, Lord, have come in here needing a touch from God, and maybe through the song that Brother Steve and I just sang, that somebody did touch us. I thank God for the day that he touched me. I thank you, Lord, that you are still in that touching business. That, Lord, you touched us for the need of salvation. And then you touched us for the need of service. But then you touch us, Lord, in the matter of sin. And Father, I thank you for the touch of God today. Bless, we pray, those that listen in this building, and those that listen will listen by radio, and those that listen by internet. May the Spirit of the living God fall fresh on us. For we pray in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake we ask. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to see, by way of introduction to the message this morning, would you notice that here we have the story of the Israelites as they've come out of Egyptian bondage. They've been delivered by the blood, and now they come to the first obstacle, the first real test of their faith. Now they come to where their world literally comes to a standstill. They're faced now with this impassable Red Sea. Unlike some people that have these Bible scoffers, I heard and read years ago. In fact, I even had a fellow to say this to me one time, that the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea was not as tremendous as what we believe it to be. And this person said to me, "For you see that the Red Sea is actually what's called the Reed Sea, R-E-A-D. They had a misspelling, okay? And so the Reed Sea is just a small body of water, and literally the Israelites just tiptoed across and got their feet wet, and that's how they got across." And so this person, I'm serious now, this person that was saying this to me, I said, "Hallelujah!" And I said, "Do you realize that's even more of a miracle than what's in the Bible? Because God drowned Pharaoh's army in ankle-deep water." Say amen. Here we have this story of the Israelites coming to the edge of the Red Sea, and the army of Pharaoh is behind them. So the first thing I want you to see here as we look in this passage, there is a predicament. Oh yeah, there is a real predicament. And that predicament here is, number one, the sea was a problem. They had reached to the edge of the Red Sea, no way to get around it. They couldn't cross over it. There was no way to pass it. It was impassable, and there was a problem. It was impossible obstacle. Have you ever come to a point in your life that when you come and all of a sudden there is an impossible obstacle in your way? Brother Wainwright, that we have on our prayer list, and he is recuperating in the hospital. He had brain surgery on Friday. I talked with him on Tuesday night, and he had the calmness and the peace of God about him. And he said, Brother Frank, it's out of my hands. It's nothing I can do. And literally, that's true. Have you ever come to that point? Have you ever come to a point to where you can't do anything about it? It's out of your hands. If it gets done, it's going to be done by God and nobody else. And here these Israelites had a predicament. The sea was a problem, but then also the soldiers were a problem. Oh, yeah. Not only did they have the sea to contend with, but now they've got Pharaoh and his army breathing down their necks. You know Pharaoh, the one that had held them in Egyptian bondage, the one that made them make bricks with no straw, the one that beat them and made them slaves, and then after the death of the firstborn, after his son died, then Pharaoh had a change of heart, and he said, okay, now you can leave. Go ahead, Moses, get them out of here. I don't want to see you guys anymore. And so they left, but then just as soon as they were gone, Pharaoh had a change of heart. He said, I'm not going to let those people live. My son has died. They've caused me all kinds of problems. Look at all these plagues that's come upon my country. We're going to go after them. Have you ever had anybody, I'm sure you have not, but have you ever had anybody to tell you one thing and then all of a sudden change their mind and then tell you something else? I believe we call that lie. When they tell you, we see it in our politicians today. Oh, that was just a misspoke. Yeah, I just misspoke. No, it's a lie. And here Pharaoh had a change of heart, and now not only is the sea a problem, but Pharaoh's soldiers are a problem. They're breathing down their neck. They're going to kill these Israelites. Notice the other thing by way of introduction. Notice the placement here. Now, for the Israelites, they are scared. Granted, you would be also. If there was a wall of water, if there was an ocean in front of you, and if there was army breathing down your neck, and it looked like impossibility, it looked like you're going to die, looked like your family's going to die, looks like your young'uns are going to die, looks like everything that you have is going to be wiped out in just a moments of time. They were scared. You would be too. That's a natural reaction of our flesh to be scared. But thank God, the Bible says that the Lord has not given us, help me out if you know the verse, a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Can you say amen right there? God has not given you a spirit of fear. I don't care what you're afraid of. You may be afraid of spiders, snakes. You may be afraid of the dark. I'm sure everybody in here has some fear of heights. I used to be so afraid of the dark. I've told you this before, but some of you hadn't heard, but I grew up afraid of, I think maybe between my mother and my grandmother, maybe they made me afraid of the dark. I don't know, but I was scared of the dark. Grew up scared of the dark. Remember one time, Brother Steve, we were living over in Reedsville, and just in one of those mill houses over there, and a big thunderstorm came up. The other thing, my grandmother was afraid of thunderstorms too. Anybody like that? I mean, when the thunderstorm comes, you pull the blinds and you pull the shades and you hunker down. You're afraid of the storm. Well, it was lightning and thundering, and so little old me, I decided I was going to go look out. I hadn't really seen a thunderstorm, so I was going to look out. And so as I looked out, all of a sudden, bam, there was a crack of lightning and a thunder, and I scared, and I turned around to run. And when I did, the poster bed was sitting right there in my path, and I hit myself and blacked my eye, knocked myself backwards. I used to be scared of the dark. I'd go in a room, you know, I'd go in, feel for the light switch. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Regardless of what your fear is, Satan will try to use that fear against you. He will magnify your fear. I can't call people's names, but a member of my family is very close to me, of the female origin there, has a problem with spiders. It don't matter if the little old thing is just big. Oh, kill it! Get a shoe! Kill it! You know, stop the daylights out of it. Look, he's not going to hurt you. I don't care, you know. Some people are just afraid. Look, God's not given us a spirit of fear. Regardless, you may have a fear of getting cancer. God's not giving you that spirit of fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. You might say, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my ability to walk. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my ability to function. I'm afraid my parents are getting older. I'm afraid. Listen, give all of your fears unto the Lord. God is not the author of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Can I have amen? So notice as we get into this, we probably won't get real far. The placement is a place where they were scared. It's a place where they were stuck. They were stuck. No way out, no way forward, no way to the side. They couldn't go, hey, they were stuck. They couldn't go anywhere. When life hems you in, all you can do is sit tight, be still, and know that He is the Lord. Have you ever come to the point in your life that you have tried? Look, I remember the disciples in the New Testament, and they got it, and Jesus said, hey, you go ahead and get in the boat. And he said, I'll meet you on the other side. And so as they got in the boat and they started out across the Sea of Galilee, all of a sudden a storm rose up. I believe those men rowed as hard as they could row. I believe they did all they could do, but they could not keep that ship from going under. And they cried, Master, carest not that we perish. Jesus cares about us, but sometimes He allows the storms to come in our life so that we will say, it's nothing I can do. I'm stuck. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Notice the third thing by way of introduction. There's the power. God has power over all the winds so trust the Lord. We sang that song a while ago, the Master of the Sea. Do y'all really believe that Jesus has all power over the winds and the waves and the sea? Say amen. I'm sure it was a miracle of the Lord. This Hurricane Patricia that just hit down in Mexico, the strongest on record, but did y'all hear? Not one person lost their life. Did y'all hear that? Not a single person got killed as a result of that tremendous hurricane. I do believe that God controls the winds and the waves. He controls them physically, but He also controls them in your life. And so if you are in the midst of a storm, and like Brother Mays used to say, you are one of three places. Either you are in a storm, you are coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. You are one of those three places. Rest assured, God is in control. Now, God has power over the water, so trust Him when the life seas begin to surmount. God has power over the warriors, so trust Him when you have a struggle in your life. Now let's get to the message in the next few minutes. Probably won't finish this. Number one, would you notice here, stand still and see the parting of the Red Sea. These Israelites, Moses said to them, Just hang on, stand still. Just wait. You can't do anymore. You're not going to be able to do anything else. Just stand still and watch. See what God can do. A little 9-year-old boy came home from Sunday school one day. And his mother and dad, they were in the adult class, and he was in like the junior class. And so they came home, sat down for Sunday dinner. And so his mother looked over at him and said, hey, tell me, what did you learn in Sunday school today? He said, well, the teacher taught us about Moses and the Israelites and how they crossed the Red Sea. Oh, well, tell me the story. Oh, well, Mom, It went something like this, that all of a sudden the Israelites, they built a floating bridge, and they put it across the Red Sea, and so all of them got across the Red Sea on this floating bridge that they made. And then after they got safely across, Moses radioed back, called the bombers to come in, and when Pharaoh's army got up on that bridge, they dropped the bombs and blew the bridge up and killed all of Pharaoh's army. She said, now, wait a minute. Did your teacher really tell you that story? He said, no, but if I told you the story that she told, you wouldn't believe a word of it. A lot of people don't believe a word of it. How that Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Notice something here as we get into this. Notice, if you wouldn't, in Exodus chapter 15, go there with me for just a minute. God and God alone separated the waters. Look in Exodus 15, verse number 8. And the Bible said, and with the blast of his nostrils, the waters were gathered together. All God had to do, excuse me, not trying to be irreverent or disrespectful, but all God had to do was to blow his nose out of his nostrils, and the waters were parted. With one blast, God parted the sea. With one breath, God parted the sea. Stand still, my friend. Look around you. Whatever is that mountain in front of you, whatever is that obstacle in front of you, stand still. Allow God just to blow upon it. Amen. Notice something. Not only did God separate the water, but notice he stacked the waters. Look in chapter 15, verse number 8. The last part of the verse. The flood stood upright as a heap. I'm sure most of you have seen that Charlton Heston movie, you know, The Exodus, and they did a pretty good job, I guess, back years ago of trying to portray, but hey, not only did the waters just roll back, but they stood up. It was like a wall of water. And so the people went down, and they didn't get their feet muddy. It was dry land that they walked upon. But can you imagine as they're walking down through there, this wall of water that's on their right and wall of water on their left, God is holding it back with his omnipotent hand. I still believe that God created this world. God created everything in this world. God has power over all things in this world. If he can make a donkey to talk, if he can tell Peter, go out yonder and catch that fish and you'll find a gold coin in his mouth, pay your taxes. I mean, that just don't stand to reason. How can a fish bite the hook and have a gold coin in his mouth at the same time and Peter get the right fish? I've been fishing for 35, 40 years. I have not caught one yet. I'm still looking with one of them gold coins in his mouth. But God had him in the right place. God had the rooster in the right place at the right time. When Peter went out and cursed and swore that he did, and the rooster crowed. Y'all know why they say preachers like chicken so well, don't you? Because the rooster squealed on Peter back yonder, and we've been trying to get even ever since. But God has a purpose. He has you in the right place, regardless, and he stacked the waters up. Notice the third thing. I like this. Notice in verse number 15, chapter 15, verse 8, God solidified the water. Look in the last part of that chapter 15, verse 8, and there the Bible said, and then the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. How many of you know what a congealed salad is? Raise your hand. Wait a minute. Lift them high. You know what a congealed salad is? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So next Sunday, we're going to have about 15 congealed salads, right? What is a congealed salad? It's made out of what? Jell-O. Yeah. There's always room for Jell-O. It's made out of Jell-O. Now here, look, this is amazing. Maybe you've never seen this. Maybe you have. But God turned the waters, look in chapter 15, verse 8, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. God turned the water into Jell-O. Hallelujah. He can do anything, can he? And here the waters, not only did they part, not only did they stand up, but he turned them into jello. We serve an awesome God. Amen? Amen. Don't care what your problem is, my friend. I'm not trying to be insincere, but I don't care what your problem is. My God is able and willing and can do to the uttermost. He can solve every problem. He can turn your problems into jello. Amen. And so number two, notice, stand still and see the problems sink away. The same waters that formed a barricade for God's people formed a burial for the Egyptians. The same barricade that protected the people of God was death when the Egyptians... I watched a documentary about a year or so ago, maybe a couple years ago, and there's been all this discussion about where they crossed and everything, and they really now they think they have found where the Israelites crossed, not where they thought, most people thought they crossed at, but they sent down a diving apparatus, and they took pictures on the ocean floor, and on the ocean floor are what it looks like chariot wheels, and some of them still have the metal attached to them after all these years, but hundreds of feet down in the water. I believe it's there. You see, the same wall of water that protected God's people was the same wall of water that brought death to the Egyptians. Notice something here. We need to stand still and see our problems sink away. Well, instead of running around pulling our hair out, instead of trying to do it ourselves, instead of trying to rest on our resources, stand still. Let your problems sink away in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. All things, from the day you got saved to the day that you die, all those things taken together are working for good in your life and my life. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate, that we might be conformed to the image of His dear Son, that He might be the firstborn among many people. Do you know why things happen to you? Do you know why you have such a hard time sometimes? It's because God is using those hard things to mold you like Jesus Christ. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes two or three times before I learn the lesson. Any of y'all ever had to have that in a physical sense when you did, when you was growing up and your mom and your daddy told you don't do that and you did it anyway, and you had, it took you two or three times before you learned not to do that? Say amen. God does the same thing. He doesn't give up on us. He's shaping us. He's molding us. Why? So that when people see me, they see Jesus Christ. They don't see Frank. They don't see my resources. They see His resources. They see His power. All things are working together. The things that come into my life are shaping me so that Jesus could be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what He's doing to you. So when those hard times come, death and sickness and adversity and all that stuff, when all of it comes, rest assured God has not forsaken you. He's not turned His back on you. Those Israelites, they got to where their world came to a standstill. They couldn't go back. They couldn't go forward. All they could do is stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And God's doing the same thing for your life. Time's going awful fast. Notice also with me, if you would, please. Not only is God working that out for our good, there's not a problem that's too hard for God to solve. Do y'all really believe that? Say amen. I don't think everybody did. There is no problem that God cannot solve. There's no problem that God, that's too hard for Him to settle, and there's no problem for God to smash. In Genesis 18:14, a question was asked concerning Abraham. When Sarah was to have a baby, the Bible says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? That question was about life. In Jeremiah 32:27, there was a question asked, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" That question had to do with death. God was going to allow Babylon to destroy Judah. So here's the point. All the way from life to death, there is no problem that God cannot solve. May not be in our time frame, but it's in His time frame. Number three, quickly, notice the third thing, and I'll probably close. Stand still and see the powerful salvation. Salvation for sinful people. Did those Israelites deserve to be saved? No. Did those Israelites deserve God's grace? No. Do you? No. But I'm thankful to God that He saves sinful people. And all God's people said, amen. We do not deserve it. We do not. There is nothing that I can merit to inherit eternal life. There is no goodness in this flesh of mine. The Bible tells me over in Isaiah that all of my righteousness are as filthy rags, putrefying rags. That is my righteousness, but Jesus came to save sinful men. And by the way, may I say that everyone in this room, everyone in America, everyone in the world falls into one or two categories. Either you are saved or you're lost. Either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. I'm just cutting it right down where it is. Either you're saved on your way to glory or you're condemned on your way to death.
April 14th, 1912 was a fateful day in the life of many people. For on that day, the great ocean liner Titanic went down in the North Atlantic Ocean. First of all, when the newspapers got a hold of it, they said, everyone is saved. Everyone was rescued. Not a soul was lost. But then the true report started coming in. And when the true report started coming in the papers in New York City, they ran two columns. One column simply said, saved. And the list of those people that were rescued. The other column, some 1,500 names, lost and listed those. If your name was on God's record book this morning, what category would it be under? Would it be under saved or lost? Would you be going to heaven? You say, preacher, I've been a good person. I put money in your plate a while ago. I like this church. I've been coming here for a while. Listen, that doesn't matter. Thank God that you're here. But the most important thing is we sang the first song at Calvary. At Calvary. Have you been to Calvary? Not church membership, not baptism, not good works. Have you been to Calvary? Amen. That's the only thing that matters. And here, salvation were for sinful people. But number two, salvation is for spiritual people. Where are you going at? Salvation for those that pray. I'm glad that God delivers us. Amen. But salvation also for those that praise the Lord. Sometimes we're guilty, I am, of just thanking God, but I fail to praise Him, even in the bad times. Do you realize the last five books of the book of Psalms is nothing but praise to the Lord? Praise God, praise God. And here we're getting into November. I wish that every one of us, every day in the month of November, would say, dear Lord, I want to praise you. Praise you for the life that you give me. Praise you for the strength you give me. Praise you for the breath that you give me. Praise you for the good mind. Praise you that I'm still able to go. Praise you for all the good things. Praise you for the money I have. Praise you for the water I drink. Praise you for the food I can eat. Praise you for the taste buds that I have. Praise you for the eyesight that I have. Do you realize we could go on and on and on? Most of the time, our praise is limited as to, well, He hadn't done anything for me this week. Oh, but He has. Then third of all, salvation for God's special people. God's special people? Yeah. God's precious people. You are precious in His sight. God's peculiar people. I don't mean you wear one green sock and one red sock. I don't mean that, but you are peculiar. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. God's prized people. The only thing that makes God's people special is His salvation. Amen. The only reason that I am anybody, it's not because of who I am, my family, or anything. It's because of Him. He's done it all for me. He loved me while I was yet sinner, and Christ died for me. It's all because of Him and nothing because of me. But then also, salvation saves sick people. Stand still, look there, and see the salvation of the Lord. There's a lot of sick people that need hope today. They're not going to find it in drugs and alcohol. They're not going to find it out there in the world. They're going to find it in the house of the Lord. They're going to find it in the Word of God. People today need hope. When you lose hope, oh, you're a miserable person. That's why we see so many people today that are trying to end their lives, and they're trying to take a lot of pills and try to drown it in alcohol. Why? Because they have no hope. Oh, but when you find Jesus and you have hope for tomorrow, oh, as Bill Gaither wrote that song, because He lives, I can face another tomorrow. Amen. Because of Jesus. Well, the last thing, and I have to close, is stand still and see the people sing. Look at Exodus 15:1, and I'm about done. The Bible said, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him an habitation of my father's God, and I will exalt Him." They began to sing. I said, "Preacher, I can't sing." Yes, you can. You can sing. You may not be able to hit every note, but you can still sing. Open your mouth and God will fill it. Open your mouth to praise to the Lord. You realize when we sing songs, we're not just singing. We're not singing them to you. I'm not singing to you. No, we're singing to glorify Him.
Amen.
When we sing, "Somebody touched me," I'm not talking about somebody out there. I'm talking about He touched me. When we sing, "He's the master of the sea," I'm talking about Him that calmed the troubled seas in my life when I had no one else to turn to, when I had no preachers to turn to, when I had nobody else. He was always there. The Bible says this, sing about His marvelous works in Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints." He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. As the Bible said, He has become my shield and my buckler, my strength. He is my high tower. If you take time to study that out, it would bless your heart tremendously. He is my all in all. He is the dew in the morning. He is the bride of the morning star. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley, the bride of the morning star. He's all in all to me. He's everything your heart could ever desire. Sing about His mighty ways. Tell the Lord, sing about your problem. Give Him your needs. Sing about that unto the Lord. Lift your voice. Sing unto the Lord today. Through all the problems and toils and snares, He's brought me safe thus far. Sing about His miraculous winning. Sing and tell how He delivered you from sin. Sing and tell how that He is about to destroy the enemies. Sing about He's coming back again. One of these bright and glorious mornings, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Sing unto the Lord. And that's what they did here. Once they crossed over, the enemy was drowned and their problem was behind them. Now, by the way, that didn't end all their problems. That was only the beginning. But friend, we don't have to go through life saying, "Oh, woe is me." Sing unto the Lord. Thank God for what He has done for you. If He has delivered you from sin, if He has set the captive free, if He has blessed you, sing unto the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, listen, we ought to praise Him and shout this place down. Amen. We ought to say glory to God in the highest. Isn't it amazing that Christmas is right around the corner, and when they announce the birth of Jesus, what do? They sang. They sang, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. We need to lift our voice and praise the Lord for all what he has done. I close with this. Look at the last thing here. We've got a wonderful promise. Look in Exodus 14:14. Would y'all read this out loud with me if you still got your Bibles open? Exodus 14:14. I'll start you off. You read with it. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. There's a wonderful promise. The Lord's going to fight for you. He's on your side. He's conquered every enemy. He's defeated the devil on Calvary. There's no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. There's no kingdom that shall stand. God is all-powerful. He is almighty. And the best thing, he is mine.